glad to be here this morning, and we're glad to see all we have with us this morning. We praise God for your presence, and I hope this message today will be a message that's going to help you to gain faith. I'm not preaching anything that you probably don't already know. It's all based on things we should already know. It's talking about gaining faith in the Lord. And we're going to start off on the popular verses, Romans 10 and 17. So that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so we realize how we gain faith. We gain faith by hearing God's Word. And we need to hear it, because the more we hear it, the more faith we can have. And the more we listen to the Bible, the more we read the Bible, the more we study the Bible, the greater our faith will be and the stronger faith we'll have. You know, I like to listen to the radio when I'm riding along by myself. I'm listening to the radio and I'm listening to all kind of preaching. I listen to all of them, and I get a lesson. I learn something from all of them. You know, a lot of times we feel like preachers are preaching false doctrine and so forth, and a lot of times they are, but they use the Scripture, and if you study and listen to that Scripture, you'll learn something from what's there. You listen to the Word of God, and you evaluate what they've taught, whether or not it's truth or not, you see. It's important that we gain faith, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's how we gain our faith. That's how we grow in the faith. It's from the Word of God. In Romans 14 and 23, it says, whatsoever not of faith is sin. So we must realize that we need this faith, and we need to know the faith, because what doesn't come from faith? It's sin. It doesn't come from the Word of God? It's sin. And so we need to understand so we might know what sin is and not be involved in that. And it's important that we have this faith. And so to have faith, you gotta hear it. You gotta listen. You've got to incline your ear to hear the Word of God. In Isaiah 55 and 3, he says, incline your ear. Come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercy of the David. And that's what we want. We want the mercy of the David. We don't want the judgment of God. And we don't want to be found and held accountable for every act and thing we've done. You look at King David, and that's the kind of judgment you want from God. You want this mercy that is given to King David. You see, King David looked at another woman. He lusted after that woman. He went and committed adultery with that woman. He went and had her husband killed. David should have been killed. The law said he was to die. But God was merciful to him. God allowed him to live. But David did suffer much. His family suffered much because of this sin that he committed. And this sin is like all sin that brings punishment on us in this world as well as in the world to come. But David did not die for his sin. And that's what we're hoping, that we won't die because of our sin. We're looking for the sure mercies of David. So to have it, we've got to hear it. Hear the Word of God. Hear it over and over and over. More and more and more. So our faith will be stronger and we'll understand. Jesus said in Matthew 13 and 9, he that has ears, let him hear. Now when he says that, you know, he said it in a kind of way that he has ears, let him hear. He's not talking about hearing where it goes through one ear and out the other. He's not talking about hearing like a lot of times people do at school. You know, they hear it, but they don't understand it. Like sometimes riding down the road, you know, the radio playing and all's going on. You know it's playing the noise and you hear it, but you don't know what it says. You're not really taking it in. You're not really digesting it. So Jesus said, let him that has ears to hear, hear. Understand what's said. You know, he said in Matthew 13 and 15, so he's talking about let him hear. He said, lest at any time they should see with their ears and hear with their, see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, be converted, and I should heal them. That's what we want. We want to be healed. So how are we going to gain that? By hearing the Word of God. Hear it with our ears, see the Word of God, and have understanding in our hearts. That we are converted, changed, and then He will heal us. That's what He says. You know, in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, without faith it's impossible to please God, that he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without this faith, you won't receive anything from God. We have to believe, and how we're going to get that faith is by hearing. So if we have to have this faith, we're going to please God. And if we don't have the faith, we're not being pleasing to God. Without faith, is impossible to please God. And we gain that faith by hearing. And that faith that we have to have is in Jesus Christ. John 8:24, Jesus said, therefore I said to you, if you believe not, then he's going to die in your sins. So we have to believe that this faith of Jesus Christ in him, we have to believe in him as the one, the Messiah, the Savior, the one that can give us life, the one that can heal us. We have to have that faith in him, that he truly can heal us. He can heal us of our sin problem. He can heal us of our life problem. Who better would know how to tell us how to live than one who created us? He knows how we operate. He knows our every motive. He knows our every need. And so he would know how to tell us to operate. You know, we're all sinners, and none of us can say we haven't any sins, but we don't need a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a one of us that can stand up and say, I haven't sinned. Well, sure, we've all lied. I guess lying is one of the most common sins of all. I don't guess there's hardly anybody that hasn't committed a lie somewhere in another, somewhere or another. You know, lying, he said, all lies have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. So, what are we going to do about our sin problem? Jesus Christ is our only hope. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. There's the punishment for sin. That's death. That's what we should be receiving because of our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, there's our hope that we gain by this faith. And by hearing the Word of God, we have faith in that. The gift of God is eternal life. What a great desire. What a great thought. There's not another religion in the world can offer you eternal life. There's not another teaching in the world that will offer you eternal life except that from Jesus Christ. He came to this earth and he has life, and he has life more abundantly, and he can give us life, life eternal. The wages of sin is death. We're all condemned to die. We're all going to die. But then in Christ and through Christ, we can have life after death. We can have eternal life. What a wonderful promise that is from God. Because he came to die for us on the cross. In John 14:6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me, by me. He's the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way that we're going to have eternal life except in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. He is the way that we can have life and have life eternal. Only in him. We need to understand that. It's not in another name, not in somebody else, but in Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's not another name given. We can't look for another person, another name, another gospel, another way. There's only one way, and it's in Jesus Christ. He is the only way that we're going to have eternal life. It's the only way we're going to be cleansed of our sins and not be found guilty before God on Judgment Day. Hebrews 5:9, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You see, Jesus suffered much. He was the Son of God, but look how he suffered and died upon that cross. Look at the beating, the punishment he took for our sins. And he said, for eternal salvation of them that obey him. We have to obey Christ. That's a reasonable thing. It's not asking too much to obey Jesus Christ. And when you look at obeying Christ, the first thing you see is you've got to change. You've got to make a change. Luke 13:3 says, if you name check your repent, you shall all likewise perish. We all have to come to repentance. We have to change our minds. It's going to bring about a change of action in our lives. We have to change our mind that we want to be in Christ and we want to follow Christ and we're going to call him Lord. We're going to send him Lord. That is a big change in a person's life. You know, we're going to have a meeting coming up pretty soon, but ourselves going to be here. And there's one thing he taught, and I really like what he had to say about the word Lord. Lord means that you have complete authority over me. You speak and I'll do it. I'm your servant. Whatever you say, I'm willing to go and do. It's kind of like, you know, we used to be dating, and when I first started dating my wife, and If she wanted it, I wanted to go do it. It don't matter what it was, I wanted to do it. If it was just a little bit of anything, I'd rather get it. I'd go do it. And that's the way we need to be with the Lord. Lord, you have all authority over me. You speak and I want to do it. You just mentioned it. That's what I want to do. That's what that means. Lord, He's completely over us. And we want to do whatever it is that pleases Him. And that's the way we want to be in Christ. He is our Lord. And we want to obey Him in all things that He has to say. And that takes repentance. 2 Peter 3:9, He says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Some men count slackness, but His long suffering toward upward. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want me to be lost. He doesn't want those over there. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. But guess what? We got to repent. We got to repent of doing our will to do His will. We got to lay down what we want to do and do what He wants us to do. He's given us time and opportunity. As we live upon this earth, we have our time. We have our opportunity. Some men have many opportunities. I'm thinking, oh, I have 2 or 3 opportunities. How many opportunities does it take for you to obey the Son of God? One should be enough, shouldn't it? But we're given time and opportunity. And this world is given time and opportunity that all men should repent. Acts 17:30 says, in times past this sickness God winked at, but now commandeth all men to repent. You know, it was a time of ignorance in which God winked at it. He winked about ignorance, but no more. We talk about the law. Now the law, you know, the law was given, but there was at that time there were people that were ignorant about God, and He winked about that ignorance, and He didn't expect them and look for them to do the same things that the people who knew did. But now, He doesn't wink at ignorance no more. We're all held accountable. You can't say, well, Lord, I didn't know. That won't matter. It won't help you. The word is going out into all the world. This Bible has been written and given to all. The gospel is preached to every man. And the only reason he don't hear is he stopped up his ears. He won't listen. And so he's saying that we all have to come to repentance. And he doesn't wink at the ignorance we might have. Another thing, when you look at Jesus Christ, that He demands that you confess Him. Self-deny. When you're out there with your friends and other people around you, and you know they're not turned toward the Lord, they're using bad language, they want to do bad stuff, but you just walk away from it, you can't deny the Lord. You can't let it go and not say something about it. You can't keep your mouth shut, but if you do, you're denying the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, confess me before men, and I confess you before my Father which art in heaven. And if you're there and you don't say nothing, you deny it. You didn't confess Him. Verse 33 says, deny you me before men, and I deny you before my Father which art in heaven. We have to live a life that's confessing that we are Christ, that we belong to Him. He's ours. He's our Lord. And we believe in Him. We've heard about Him. We have this faith in Him. We trust in Him. Be willing to make that confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see, the heart causes us to do good things, the right things, because we believe. We have this in our heart. And then because we're doing these right things, then we make this confession unto salvation. If you want to be in Christ, you've got to make that confession just like the eunuch did. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is a requirement. Unto means an action. Going to. So the heart man believeth unto righteousness, so it causes him to take action because of his faith. And with a mouth he confesses faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto salvation, toward salvation, an action taken for salvation. You know, John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world and gave His own begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Most famous verse, I guess, in the Bible. Some people take the should out and put shall in, but the word was should not perish. Well, you should have obeyed your parents, but did you? We should be good, but are we? And the word "that should" means that we have the opportunity to have salvation. Romans 1:16, he says, "Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God and salvation to the Jew first and also the Greek." The gospel is given to everybody. The gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, and that's what we want to put our faith in, is in this gospel. Well, it has to be obeyed. You should obey it. If you believe in it, and believe in God, then you should obey. You know, Acts. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, he says that Christ is coming back and flat and far, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is coming back. He's taking vengeance on everybody who has not obeyed the gospel, who does not know God and has not obeyed the gospel. If you know God, you're going to obey the gospel. And, you know, if you put faith in that, then you should obey the gospel. For Christ came and died for our sins. He came and died for you and I. He is our Lord and our Master, and we should obey Him. The question is, do we? Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." There, He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You believe? And you obey. And that doesn't take away the fact that you still got to repent. That doesn't take away the fact that you still got to confess Him. This is given as a climax of that, you know. I can't look at a person and know whether he's repented. I can't tell whether or not what you believe in your heart until you tell me. And when you make that confession of salvation, then you are ready to be baptized in Christ. And as Christ said, in obedience to Him, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There's an obedience to the gospel that all have to obey. In Acts 6:7, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples been multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. We have to be obedient to His faith. We hear it, and we believe it. And because we believe it, we do it. We're obedient to the faith because we believe in it. A lot of people say, well, you know, God's done the work. There's nothing for you to do. It was a gift from God. Salvation is. Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." And that's true. You know, we couldn't earn salvation. There's no way that we could pay for our sins. If there were, Christ wouldn't hit it down the cross. It was beyond our ability. God so loved us, He gave His own begotten Son so that we would have a way, so we could have salvation. It was the gift of God, as Romans 6:23 says, that salvation, Christ came as a gift from God to give us eternal life to those that obey Him. Not to all. Those that obey Him. You know, He said in Matthew 13, Matthew 1:21, that He came and He died for His people. He came to save His people from their sins. Not all people, but His people from their sins. So we see there has to be an obedience to the gospel. Yes, our salvation is based on the grace and the gift of God. No man could bring Christ down out of heaven to die for Him on the cross. None of us are worthy of that. Because of God's love, He came to do that for us, you and me, that we can be in Him and we can have eternal life. But we have to obey the gospel to be in Him. In Galatians 3:27, He says, "For many of us have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ." We have to obey that gospel. As James said in James 2:26, "For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." You say you believe? Oh, I believe. Well, you got to have those works. Works that God said. The obedience to God. It won't be any good. It's just like, you know, we know that when our spirit leaves the body, we're dead. And so faith that doesn't have works to follow and testify and show that you are living according to God's will, you're dead. Faith without works is dead, what James said. So we have to have this obedience. Not anything that we can boast about, the fact that we just obey what God told us to do. And I declare to you this morning the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. You can believe in vain. You can have a vain faith. And then he goes on, he says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture. You see, there's the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the great news. Good news is that we can live forever. We don't have to die for our sins. That is really good news. Because why? Because Christ died for us. He was buried in the grave and he rose again to life, showing we have eternal life after death. That's great news. How do we do that? How does that affect our lives? You know, we were sinners when he did that. We were sinners and still remain sinners. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. We're all sinners. But when we are baptized in Christ, we have a new life. He said in Romans 6:3, know you not that so many of us who are baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized in his death? There we go under the death of Christ. We enter the death of Christ and we contact the blood of Christ. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when we come to that point of life, we obey that gospel, we have a new life, we walk in a new life, we have a newness of life. We're not the old man we used to be. You think about things different. The world looks different to you. What used to be important, not important anymore. What used to be greatly important to you. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I don't know about you. When I was young growing up, I liked to hunt. I liked to fish. That was going to be my life. I wanted to do that then. And I just wanted to live for that all the time. And Dad said, I told Dad, I want a job where I can hunt and fish all my life. He said, son, it don't exist. You got to make a living somehow. Well, I wanted to be an ag teacher, and that didn't all turn out that way either. But when I obeyed the gospel, and I grew in the gospel, and getting to understand the will of God, I realized, that stuff's not important. That's not important. Whether I go hunting or don't go hunting. Will I shoot a deer or not? Will I catch a bass or not? That's not really important. What's important is your soul. Eternal life. What's important is the will of God. That's what's really important in life. That's more important than all the money or whatever we might make. That's what really counts. It's to live according to the will of God. And when you become that new creature, you have a different focus. You see other things are more important than that. Than just having a good time. Romans 12:1-2. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, that's one of the few times in Scripture you read about Paul or anybody else begging people. You know, they never pleaded with people to obey the gospel. They never begged them to obey the gospel. But here, these people are in the gospel. He's begging them, present your life a living sacrifice. He's pleading with them to live in such a way that they'd be a living sacrifice for Christ. And he says, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and perfect will of God. So we're not to be like the world. We'll be changed. We'll be transformed. That's transformation. By renewing of our mind, that's an ongoing process. That's going on, renewing and changing our mind day by day and growing more and more in Christ. I got to confess that when I first got baptized, I didn't understand all these things. But I knew one thing. I belonged to the Lord. I sat on the porch and the swing. I had no understanding what's happening necessarily to me. But tears began to flow. I was asked why he cried. I didn't know. One thing I can think is crying because I realized it's no longer my life. It now belongs to somebody else. It belongs to Jesus Christ. It's His now, not mine. And so now I have a new life and a new approach, and I got to live according to His will. I got to walk that walk like in Romans 12, 1 through 2 talking about. But what do you do if you sin? We still sin, don't we? That's bad. What are we going to do about it? You know, we've been washed by the blood of Christ. Acts 22:16, if my character died, I rise and be baptized, washed away their sins, all my past sins are washed away, we're covered in the blood of Christ. But yet we realize there's sin in my life. I committed sin. What am I going to do? Well, God didn't leave us in the dark. And He has a wonderful promise to His children. It's a wonderful promise that He will cleanse us over and over and over in the blood of Christ. In John 1, verse 6, He says, if you walk in the light, sees in the light. Verse 7. Let's skip 6. If you walk in the light, sees in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses from all sin. You see, there is our cleansing. Continuing to walk in the will of God and the light of God, following His Word. His Word is a lamp unto my feet. Walk in that light. If He's in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, the church, when we come together every Sunday, we're cleansed by the blood of Christ. As we partake of that communion, we'll examine each other. Examine yourself that you be not condemned with the world. You see, there's a cleansing process in taking place. And that is cleansed over and over. And if we walk in the light, seen in the light, we have fellowship one with another. He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just forgives our sin and cleanses from all unrighteousness. That's twice in the same little chapter He's talking about us being cleansed. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. He said, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the truth not in us. So what do? We stay in the church. We're cleansed. There's three ways you come in contact with the blood of Christ. When you're baptized, taking communion, and you're confessing sin and prayers. So we continue then in this process. We stay with Him. And don't feel like there's no sin that you can't be forgiven from. Some people feel like, I'm too bad of a sinner. I've got too much sin. I can't be cleansed. I've done this and I've done that. I can't be forgiven. I can't. Christ said in Matthew 12 and 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoso speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. So what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? Well, it's kind of hard for you and I to do it today. Those people looking at the miracles performed by Christ and by the Spirit of God, and they were calling it a Beelzebub, the devil. That's what they were doing. And that's what he was talking about. You know, it's not talking about lying. It's not talking about murder. It's not talking about adultery. It's not talking about child abuse. All those things we think of terrible sins can be forgiven in Christ. Can be washed away by the blood of Christ. And then you continue your life in Him. Remembering Him. Confessing your sins. Confess your sins. I like to confess sins daily because I don't know if I might know all of them I've done. You know, sometimes we don't know. We commit things we may not know is sin and we're sin, but we need to confess it. And sometimes we forget that we did. If somebody done something to you, got a thought that comes into your mind, you know, that was sin. And so we need to make confession daily. Whenever I pray, the first thing I want to do is to ask God to forgive me my sins. And we continue to do that. He promises He's not unrighteous. He is righteous to cleanse us of all sin. So if you're here this morning, you've never been baptized in Christ, we want to give you that opportunity to be cleansed of all your sin. Have eternal life with Him. If you're here this morning as a Christian, and you once were baptized in Christ, and you realize, I need to make a confession of fault for sin, and I need to pray as a brethren, we're here to help you. We're here to pray with you and for you. And God promises He'll cleanse you of all your sins, of all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning, subject to the gospel calling either way, we invite you to come. We stand and sing.